Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Mike Schoke and the Bulldog.
How many bees is a swarm? Is 2 a swarm or 3? Whatever. How many does it have to be?
And I feel like 7.
It's Mike Schoke.
How many times do you have to be stung to have been swarmed? And I was like, dude, I got swarmed. I got stung only once, but I was swarmed.
And the Bulldog.
You insist you were swarmed.
There were bees, man, like plural, big, lots of S's. Lots of E's and S, bees. That was not
bees.
Fun.
Bees.
Right. That was not fun.
On WGR.
Hey, man, that kind of hurt.
Sports Radio 550.
Question.
Okay.
I want you to name, I've done this, and you can try to guess who I picked, or you could do it yourself, whatever you like. Top 3 answers I'm looking for. Who do the Bills own? Teams. Who do the Bills own? Who are the 3 teams that are the best answer for who they own? And then, who are the 3 teams that are the best answer for who are they owned by?
Okay. I would say Miami is a team the Bills own.
I think it's like easily number one.
Yeah.
Not, you know, always through history, of course, but at present.
Another way to look at it, I saw today that Allen has been named AFC Offensive Player of the Week in games against Miami more times than Miami has beaten the Bills since he got here.
Which is maybe like 2.
Right. But still, like he clobbers Miami. He owns Miami. So the Bills, therefore, by virtue of Allen owning Miami, the Bills own Miami.
The Bills own Miami. Is there any other team you would say they own? You know, it's not really much, but
I don't think in the AFC I've got another one that I'd want to say own.
It really doesn't work, but I just want to throw out Washington.
Right.
They lost a Super Bowl to Washington, and then they beat them a billion times in a row. Lately, they've just crushed them the last 2 meetings, but they really don't own Washington, right? That's just not...
I don't think so, no.
It's all not significant enough for you to be...
Right.
You know, Miami's twice a year. That's the division. You don't really own Washington. Could you even own a team from the other conference?
I mean, if you beat them every time you play them, and maybe it kind of seems like they do that with Washington. I don't have it right here at my fingertips. But yeah, I guess you could, but it's weird. You think more about the conference and certainly the division, which is, and you know, so Miami really lines up nicely because they're both obviously in the division and the conference, and the Bills have kind of dominated them since Allen got here. So that's I don't think there's another team that's really even close.
The Bills have won 9 of 10 against Washington since the Super Bowl loss.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah. I did say top 3.
Right.
Would you consider New England?
No.
They lost their last year.
They don't
own New England.
You can't do that.
Would you consider Pittsburgh?
No, they lost here on opening day
3 years ago.
So, you know.
What do you have to do to own somebody? Playoff wins?
Let me think about how I want to put it exactly. What you have to do to own somebody is own them.
Buy them.
They can't seem to get out of their own way when they play you. I don't know if there's another team out there that is close to Miami for me. Because there's, you know,
even, I don't either.
I thought of Denver, but they just lost to Denver last year.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the teams. They don't own Denver. I think on the other end of it, who owns the Bills?
Do they kind of own Baltimore?
I wanted to suggest them, but I just don't feel like it's enough.
It's two wins, I think, since they last lost to Baltimore. Okay. The playoff game and then that comeback game.
The Poyer, the game Poyer picks off the pass late. Yeah, that's it, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's
not owning.
That's not enough frequency to own. Like, if there were four or more in the last, like, if they play Baltimore the way they played the Chiefs and beaten them regularly, then you might be able to get me there.
Do the Chiefs own the Bills?
Yes. Yes. Even though the Bills have beaten them how many times in a row?
In the regular season, three on the road each time.
Right.
I think so, too. Like, if you're a Chiefs fan, I know, perish of thought. If you're a Chiefs fan, what's your attitude about Buffalo? That's it. Right. I don't know how to write that, but be like, good one. You know?
Yeah. What else you got?
Really?
Right.
Still? You again?
Yeah.
So I think probably, yes, the Chiefs own the Bills. Who else? I think there are two other teams.
I think the Bengals own the Bills.
I do, too. The Bengals would be right. That's historic, too.
Yes.
That's 80s playoff That's wins.
Right. Yep. Yep.
And I think there's one more. But maybe not. This one's closer.
Jacksonville?
Yes. Does Jacksonville kind of own the Bills?
So annoying.
Also, yes. Two playoff wins.
Yes.
This last debacle. Well, the last 2 years.
Yeah.
21. The 96 game is in 21.
Right. It's not. Yeah. That's Urban Meyer. Yeah.
And then last year in London.
Right. Yeah, I think overall, I mean, they're the team at the crime scene when Kelly's career ends, if you want it, right? I mean, that's Jim's last game is against a playoff loss at home. What?
I definitely want it.
To Jacksonville. Like, and, you know, where are the – sure, you've beaten them a couple times, but I don't know, man. I feel like they qualify as owning the Bills.
Yeah, I do too.
Which is really frustrating. Because I don't think they've ever been that good.
When you're owned by Jacksonville, you're in tough.
That is a bad place to be.
It's kind of random.
That is not who you want to be owned by.
No. Does Jacksonville own anybody else? Who would it be? I don't know, like, their history with Houston or something.
I can't help you. Don't know.
Who would it be?
Are we trying too hard, including Jacksonville?
Like, maybe.
You know,
I wrote down three for each. I wanted to try on three teams for each one. Miami, Bills own Miami is a lock. The other ones are not locks because the Bills have won games against Kansas City. Cincinnati is more just like one-off games and going back into the 80s. The Bills don't, they're not owned by the Chiefs going back in time. They beat them in the 90s playoffs two out of 3 years. So it's not like that. Long back and forth with the Chiefs and the Bills.
Okay. It's just that your season has ended three times with them, and that's tough.
This last one is a huge blow. Losing at home.
Mm-hmm. To a team that was not as potent and dangerous as other teams that beat you in the playoffs. And it's a very tough, you know, speaking of injuries, which has been, you know, a lot of the focus today with the news about Milano likely to miss, well, he's going to miss most of the season. We know that already. We'll see if he even gets back for any of it. But yeah, that's a big part of the story. That's how the season ended last year. I mean, everybody's got their injuries, but the Bills really racked them up the last couple of weeks of the Miami game and then the wild card game against Pittsburgh. Devastating, I don't think, is too strong a word for what happened there. It's Gabe Davis and Taylor Rapp in Miami, and then in Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh game, it's Bernard, and Douglas was one-legged, too. Maybe he got hurt against Miami. Just having to go hard to the wire really hurt them last year. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's just so tough when that's your situation. But, yeah, I think those all – what was the third one that the Bills might own? You said we agreed on Miami.
New England and Pittsburgh.
New England and – okay. What about Washington?
Well, okay, again, Washington is subjective. If whether or not you want to include the Super Bowl. Like someone just tweeted at me, Dallas, that the Bills own Dallas. I don't think that's possible. When you lost two Super Bowls to a team, I think they could beat Dallas 50 times more in a row in the regular season. And I'm not sure I would ever say that.
Right.
So Washington.
What are we sitting on, a two-game win streak against Dallas? Right? The Thanksgiving game and then last year here. I don't remember what was before that.
Before that was a late season game here when they were down to, I think Kellen Moore might have started a quarterback.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah.
So just not meaningful.
Right.
It depends on how you want to slice it, the Washington one. Because they've lost to them once in 33 years. That's not great for Washington.
But they also don't play them every year. Or no. Even close. So, yeah.
They did fit in. There was one of the extra games.
That's
was
right.
Washington. Do you know? You don't, right? You don't know what the plan is going forward for those extra games?
I don't know.
I recently tried to find out, and I couldn't find it anywhere. This is the fourth year of the 17th game. And you know what they've done? They've pitted first place against first place, 2-2, 3-3, 4-4, against the other conference. And they've alternated home and away. So it went home to Washington, that was the first one. At the Rams was the second. Home to Tampa last year was the third. Mm-hmm. At Detroit this year is the fourth. Will they go to the NFC East? That's got to be known. That on all those sites, the Bills' own site, I think maybe even, have the future schedules. I think that would be on there. Or maybe I looked and it wasn't. Like, would they go back to the NFC East? Probably. Yeah. Would you guess that? I would.
I would guess that. I also might guess that a reason why it's not widely known or at least readily available is because of the potential for them to change everything with an 18th game as soon as next year.
Yeah.
Like that, to me, that could happen.
If they don't, would that game against the NFC East probably be away because the first time they did it was here?
I think that would make sense.
What that would mean, though, is you're playing 9 road games 2 years in a row. So you either go back to AFC as home and you scramble the division order, or you keep the division order and you either settle. Like that means the NFC East one would always be a home game until they change the schedule format again. Right. I don't think that's great. So I would flip it, but maybe that doesn't seem fair either because you're playing 9 road games 2 years in a row. That's true of every team in your conference. This is not one of those where the Jets get a better deal.
Right.
Like the schedule overall this year, the Jets get a much better deal.
Then I would bet that's what they would do, even though it's not that fair. But if the whole conference has got to swallow it, then that's more fair anyway. It's like you're disadvantaged by having to play a 9th game, but so is the entire conference. So what exactly is the disadvantage? I'm competing
it's
in the conference.
It's more money.
Yeah.
It's more revenue related than it would be competitive balance. All right, couple more, couple texts and also tweets on who owns whom.
Okay.
Let me try this one by you. My friend Mark wants to know, do the Bills own the Raiders?
My friend Bad Ronald texted me suggesting the Raiders.
Yeah. You have a friend that goes by Bad Ronald.
Yes. He's the drummer in a band called Bad Ronald, but they're such a force that he has actually taken on that name himself. At least that's how I have him in my phone. I feel like his friends refer to him as Bad Ronald. Anyway, he suggested Raiders. So I'm open to it. But I'm not sure how good it is, how sound it is. I don't have like the greatest recall for like wins in a row against this team.
I think I want to say yes.
All right.
When was the last the Raiders gave the Bills a problem last when? That late season game with Kyle Orton? The Bills lost a game where they were still in it at Oakland?
Yeah. And that was that before the Denver? They played Oakland and Denver like back to back that year, both on the road.
Yeah, yeah.
I just remember there being a fourth down play where Orton just sort of gave up. But that was against Denver, not the Raiders, I think. Anyway.
That's right. And that Green Bay win might have been in between.
All right.
Here.
Yeah, that might be right. Yeah.
But come on, it's Oakland. Who's even Oakland at this stage? The Bills kind of do 51-3. The Bills do kind of own the Raiders.
Yeah.
I think I want to say yes.
They Did they lose the game where Dante Whitner took the penalty, the personal foul?
Nope.
Because the guy celebrated. They won that game.
Okay. They won that game, too.
I was thinking of that maybe being a problem in this, but no.
They won a couple of great, fun home games in the drought against the Raiders.
2011, the week after the Patriots, was a very memorable game against the Raiders.
The Fitz scream.
Right.
Is against the Raiders.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they work here.
Let's go with it.
Yeah.
The Bills own the Raiders. The Bills own the Dolphins.
Thank you to your friend Mark and my friend Bad Ronald.
He wants to be known as Ordinary Mark.
Ordinary Mark?
Since you have Bad Ronald, he's saying, I want to be Ordinary Mark.
Can you ask him how he feels about Regular Mark?
I think you just did ask him that. We'll see if we get an update on that. All right, so the Bills own the Dolphins. The Bills own the Raiders. The Chiefs own the Bills. The Bengals own the Bills. The Jaguars own the Bills. Harry wants to know, do the Jets own the Bills?
No.
No, just because they've lost a couple, it's really sort of a miracle that they've lost those games.
It's more of like they have a tough time with them, but they haven't always lost. Even, you know, there's a game there where they just kicked a bunch of field goals and won. Probably freaked us out to some extent just because, you know, they couldn't get in the end zone. But they don't always lose to the Jets, but they usually have a tough time with the Jets.
I think that one's pretty neutral.
Yeah. I feel like it's a pretty even lately.
The Bills have won the division 4 years in a row. It would be tough for me to think they were owned by another team in the division that's been terrible.
Yeah.
Head to head. I get it, you know.
Yeah.
You said it. Do the Colts own the Bills?
No. No. What are we talking? The four touchdown game from Jonathan Taylor. Like that. What else have we got? I mean, they beat him in the playoffs 3 years ago.
That's right.
Or four years?
20.
Yeah.
That would have been the first home playoff game since the 90s.
Yeah.
The Colts game,
and no one was there,
and not many people were able to attend it. Yeah. Yes.
A few thousand went the next week against Baltimore.
Yes. Okay. So we're not adding Indianapolis. We are adding the Raiders.
To the Bills own the Raiders.
Yes.
Yes.
Who has to be third? If it has to be three teams that the Bills own, I might be able to make a case for Pittsburgh. But so many years of it not being the other way.
Yeah.
The Steelers always owned the Bills. I mean, not always, but franchise history, come on.
I can't get there with them because you lost on opening day to that. If that game was in October, it maybe feels different to me.
Okay.
But it's opening day, and like we're all right. Woo, yeah, Bills are awesome. Oh, what? I don't think I own a team that beat me on opening day 3 years ago or 2 years ago.
That's the rule.
Yeah. That I'm making up as we go. Because, you know, that's, who doesn't love that?
The Browns, who owns whom? The Browns and the Bills. It wouldn't be the Bills. Like, the Browns have had a couple of important wins against the Bills.
We all lose.
Ronnie Harmon. Everybody loses.
Everybody loses.
Ronnie Harmon is one. 8-0, 6-3, these scores.
The Monday night game.
The missed field goal. Oh, do the Browns own the Bills? Last meeting was Cleveland. Freddie Kitchens. That's the last meeting, I think, isn't it? No, wait a minute. There would have been a game more recent than that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
For some reason, the only game there besides the snow game, and then the other ones I'm thinking of are we're all here, is the Monday night game where Manuel got hurt.
They beat Cleveland. Wow, this is not coming to me right away. The week after the Justin Jefferson game.
Oh, yeah, in Detroit.
Oh, that's why.
In Detroit.
I'm looking at it like home game against in Detroit.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. That's right. Who starts that game for Cleveland at quarterback? He threw three touchdown passes.
Jacoby Brissett.
Correct. Very good. Nice cover by the Bills. They were 7.5-point favorites and won by 8. That is how you do it.
Yeah.
That's a sign of a good team. Good teams win. Great teams cover. Amazing teams cover by 0.5. That's perfect. All right. The Browns don't own the Bills. That's sort of a push.
Yeah, it's very much like who did we just talk? The Jets.
Tennessee.
That's also pretty even. And the Bills drubbed them in week two years ago.
But you have losses there.
The loss there where Allen slips at the goal line was tough, and then there's an even uglier one the year before that.
Yep. When you play it on Tuesdays, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
That might have been a Tuesday. That season was so strange.
Yes, it was.
What is the strangest thing about that? That they played on Tuesdays and they played it Monday at 5
right.
against the Chiefs. That was no fans. It's hard to beat no fans is the weirdest thing about 2020. Remember in fantasy, I know you do, I don't even have to ask you, just sort of life on the wire every hour, every minute. There was a game, the Patriots had a game in Kansas City, and like in the morning it was announced Cam Newton can't play because he tested positive. And you just like, what are you supposed to do?
Right.
You're the commissioner. You're trying to figure out ways to keep it fair, but the waiver deadline is passed and you're just stuck. I don't know.
Yeah, the Tennessee game, that was a Tuesday, and then they played the following Monday against the Chiefs here.
Yeah. They had to push off the Titans game because all the Titans practiced without masks at a high school or something.
Yeah.
Is that it? And they didn't have enough guys.
Mm-hmm.
So the league allowed for the Titans to, you know, play the game whenever they were feeling better.
I guess that's kind of what happened. Yeah. Yep.
Sorry to laugh, but
42-16. That was a tough game. I don't remember the Bills being that bad in that game. It was just like the turnovers and just, you know, yeah. I remember it was something like Tennessee scored 21 points with like 30 yards of offense or something on the drives that got them those scores because of the turnovers.
That game, ironically, because of the final score, that game was the night. I watched that game from home, and if you have it up, confirm this for me, that the Bills were just like, Allen was just perfect on the first drive. Did they score on the first drive? And that was, they were always in third down, and like every time he got it. And I remember watching that thinking, this guy is that good. He's just that good.
Well, he got picked off on their first series.
It wasn't that game then.
that's one of the turnovers. Two plays, 19 yards, touchdown.
Really?
Yes, that's how that game, the Bills.
That wasn't that game then.
Get picked off and 19-yard drive.
It was one of the Titans' night games where, like, I think it was early. I'll go look because I want to know.
Their second drive is a touchdown drive, a 15-play drive.
That's a big
long drive. So they rebounded nicely there. I'm just going through here, like, you know.
This is the 42-16 loss to Tennessee in 2020.
Right.
I think that was the night. That's what I remember.
But it didn't start well. So you omitted the interception that led to a short field touchdown against them to start the game, but then...
It's the second drive, though. This is exactly what I remember.
Yep.
Third and one, third and 13, third and 7, third and 10, third and 15, touchdown, didn't matter. Like, this is just... The guy that was the moment for me, like, yeah. Early 2020.
He can do it, yeah.
That's fun to talk about, too, like when that moment was for you. It might have been a play. Could have been a game. We've also been talking about the Matt Milano injury. It's going to be long-term. 803-0550, Sal Capaccio at 5 from Pittsburgh. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Me and Milano got drafted at the same time, and we've been here through every beat of this, and he's been through a couple of injuries now, and the journey just got a little harder, but, you know, Lano is a special dude. He'll be back, and he'll fight through it, and I just can't wait to check on him.
Deion Dawkins, so that's the 17 draft, Trey White. Also, Milano out long-term for the Bills. What will it mean? 803-0550, if you want to try to answer that. Would it mean anything to the reverse AFC power rankings? It's one more area of concern, one more strike against this team in terms of expectations, on top of or in addition to the other key players who have left and have been replaced by, I don't know.
I mean, Dorian Williams is your replacement here.
He's already on the team,
he's
too.
He's been here, right. It's not like they went out and got him. I suppose they could do something like that, but I don't know, like, what, you know, what's available as far as free agents. It's got to be very thin at this point. Maybe a trade? I don't know. I would guess they're just going to go with Dorian Williams and hope that he can have the kind of emergence and breakthrough in year two that Terrell Bernard enjoyed last year playing at linebacker for the very same team. So that's what I'm guessing that that's where they'll end up, because I just don't know, you know, anything could happen. I mean, they could go searching. I mean, we've got Atlanta's adding guys here 2 days in a row, impactful guys too. Judon, you know, he's older, but, and we'll see about his contract, but that's a dangerous pass rusher. And Simmons and Bates now are their safety tandem, and that looks really nice. At least on paper, anyway. I mean, Bates has only been there since last year, right? He was a big departure for the Bengals after they beat the Bills in 22, and he's been there for a year. And now Simmons, that's been a weird one all year. Like, I felt like that's a proven, very high-level player. I think four-time All-Pro, even, I read today. And for him to have been available this far into the summer was kind of, it was always odd to me. We talked about him earlier in the week. I even asked Sal, like, is the Bills aren't exactly all set at safety either. The guys they were planning on using, a couple of them have already been hurt and have barely practiced. I didn't know if there was like a scheme fit with him. I mean, the money's pretty big. $8 million is what he gets. $7.5 million guaranteed. Why not just guarantee the whole $8 million, by the way? Why is
principal.
$7.5 million. Like, I mean, I don't know. It's not my money, but it just seems odd to me that to have that distinction.
We don't do that around here.
Right. I'm not going to fully guarantee you. $500 grand. We're going to make you work for it. Okay. Whatever.
Scott Fish tweeted yesterday some offer he got, you know, maybe, you know, on your browser once in a while it says at the top, this site has coupons, you know, and there might be a way to save a little money. He had a picture of was $1,199, and then it was like crossed out or something, and it said sale $1,197. $2.
$2 off an item that costs
$1,200. I think that was it. I loved it.
Wow.
Did you and I talk about, so I'm getting my card collection off the ground a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and I just, you know, I'm doing the occasional eBay search. Nothing, I haven't sold anything yet, which is negligent on my part, but I want to, maybe tonight. You're laughing inside because I've said that 50 days in a row. But I don't do anything anymore, so this is what I need to be doing, and I'm not doing it. Maybe tonight. That's what we'll say. There was one listing for 10 all-time great cards, and the listing was like for $500,000, something like that. Uh-huh. So I just click on watch this listing, and right away, like, I guess this is what you do now. You send a deal, an offer to anybody that's on the watch list. Like, I got an offer right away. Like, I'll take $100,000 off. And I thought to myself, I'm still not going to do this.
Yeah.
I would love to do this. It's probably a good offer.
Right. I mean, $100,000 is, that's no $100,000. That's no $2 off of $1,200.
20%.
Right. That's nice.
That's pretty nice.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I'm not buying it.
That's a sale. Yeah. It's still way too expensive. But still.
Way too expensive.
So it's nice. It's a nice offer. Yeah.
Yep. That was for baseball cards. Mickey Mantle. Remember him? Mickey Mantle.
Switch hitter, right? Seven.
Switch hitter. Yeah.
Jersey number seven.
Died in 1995. Almost 30 years ago. Mickey Mantle has been dead for almost 30 years. I'll never forget the day. It was the day after or the day of. There was a Sunday. You know the story? Do you know my Mickey Mantle died story?
I don't know. No, I don't.
I'm not going to tell it on the air as well as it is off the air, because it's It's blue.
Oh.
It's blue.
Oh. Here comes the lousy G-rated version of a good story.
Second time today, it comes up. My one season doing radio for the Rochester Red Wings, okay. 1995. And I would do a pregame interview before every home game.
Oh, wait, I know this story. Yes.
Derek Jeter was one. Columbus had Jeter, Posada, Bernie Williams, Pettit. I think I talked to Pettit, but I know Jeter. I remember where I was sitting. Carlos Delgado, who I really liked, and he was very friendly, Carlos Delgado, that year. And then the Rochester guys were, you know, whenever you wanted them, they would do it. Nobody, like, no superstars or anything on that team. But Sundays were with the manager.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday with the skipper. So every Sunday when the Red Wings were home, my interview would be with the manager, Marv Foley, who had played for the Bisons, by the way, when they were with the White Sox.
Marv Foley is such a perfect name for this story.
It's a perfect name, and he is like the perfect kind of prototype. He could have been the manager in A League of Their Own.
Right. Central casting. We need a baseball manager. Period.
He liked to spit.
Here's Marv Foley.
He liked to spit. So, you know, he was fine. I was not like tight with him, but he was always sort of accommodating. I'd go in his office. Sunday mornings were Sunday with the skipper in his office. And so I'm 23. And I would go in, I have my little tape recorder, tape it, cassette, mm-hmm. That's how we'd do it.
A Marantz.
Come on in, Mike, you know, whatever. And so on this particular day, I think we just had the anniversary of Mickey Mantle's death, maybe. Sunday morning, I sit down at his desk and set up the tape recorder, and I said something about Mickey Mantle, like every baseball broadcast that day,
mm-hmm.
at every level of baseball, every baseball fan in the world would have been talking about the death of Mickey Mantle. And so I say, okay, Marv, I would often do this, like just to let you know, I want to start with this, or, you know, I want to ask mm-hmm. you about this guy just to sort of prep him. So, hey, I'm just going to ask you a quick thing about Mickey Mantle. Then we'll get into the boys, you know? And he's like, and there are like 50 F words in the next 100 words. If you ask me one question about Mickey Mantle, I'm leaving this. We're not doing this. Like, just for some reason, and I never understood why.
That's a very good job by you right there with the pauses for the cursing.
I actually said the F word every time, but I turned the mic off. And you were good to turn yours right. off at the exact same moment.
Mine didn't pick it up.
I never had any idea what it was about Mickey Mantle. Like, it could have been just he was having a bad day.
Yeah.
It could have been something about some interaction he might have had in his life with Mickey Mantle.
You never got around to following up.
Never.
You just
no, I was terrified.
You just talked about his bullpen and got out of there.
Pretty
right.
much.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You think you're going to bunt more in coming weeks?
Right.
I don't know. But he had no, it was just incredible.
No time for Mickey Mantle at all.
If it were a bit, it would have been the absolute best.
Right.
Just, you know, if he later, even like later in the summer, he comes up to me and is like,
I got you on that Mantle thing.
I got you. But I was probably sweating as he was before he was even done talking. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Right.
What did I do here?
Right.
You know, has he heard of Mickey Mantle? Like, is there some
right.
family?
Does he,
it made no sense.
Does he know he's dead?
It made no sense.
August 13th, by the way, is the, so we did just pass a couple yeah. days ago, the anniversary of Mantle's passing.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did.
Wow, yeah, that's Marv
Love
Foley.
That. I will never forget Mickey Mantle's death because of that.
Those tape recorders. Oh my gosh.
I just had a little Walkman guy.
Oh, okay. I had like a.
It was
like,
the miners.
I had a guy that was like a, you know, like a tape deck, right? Like a, you know, it was about the size of a school book, like a book you'd get for history class or something.
Okay.
Marantz had a strap on it. I don't remember who I would have been talking to, like, or where it was. But I just remember one time being really excited. Maybe it was during the season long lockout. I wasn't doing a show yet, but Howard Simon sent me, I was working part-time for Howard, sent me to like Hamilton, a bunch of NHL, like Marty McSorley had organized a game with a bunch of NHLers, and I think it was McSorley, and he was really big in the union at the time. And so it was like an opportunity to go like see, you know, talk to some players and whatever. And I remember being in a scrum with somebody pretty famous, and I'm always checking to make sure the tape deck is working, mm-hmm. and I could just see the wheels like just skipping. Like this isn't working. I drove to Hamilton to talk to Marty McSorley, I think, and this isn't working, and Howard's going to be so mad. He sent me all the way to Hamilton for
Well, I don't nothing. Actually have the interview, but I'll tell you what he said.
Yeah, right. I was taking notes. I'm sorry, I don't have any tape for you.
That's tough.
Howard, he was a
bear to work for.
He just wanted that. He wanted that 15-second clip for his sports updates.
He loves a 15-second clip.
Who doesn't?
He wants that sound. He wants that sound. Yep.
Oh, boy. The memories are flooding back with the hijinks I used to pull on Howard, writing the copy for him. Speaking of, like, blue, I would...
Really? This is true?
I would write every now and then. You know, like, the way it works here, if you pay attention, you know, Deion Dawkins says, not to worry, Dorian Williams knows how to play. That's your lead-in line, right? And then there's the clip, and you would write, like, Deion Dawkins, 15 seconds, whatever, and then pick up the copy afterward. And a few times I would write in the copy, yeah, and Ted Nolan says, bleep an A right. That would be the copy. And Howard would get like be doing the sports update. Like, and Ted Nolan said, does he think that's a good idea?
He probably got used to this and then would cross out a lot of it before starting to read it, or he would just always.
It was usually just like grab and go. Like, hey, you got the 4:30 update? Yeah, here it is. And he would just run in there and
You got away with that?
I got away with it. I didn't do it a lot, but I did it a few times.
That's good. Yeah. You're lucky you got away with that. That could be bad. You do that to the wrong guy.
I tried to Ron Burgundy him, is what I tried. Before Ron Burgundy. I mean, we didn't know who Ron Burgundy was.
He had not existed yet.
Right.
Wow. Right. That was pretty pretty bold.
Long, long time.
That was pretty bold.
Yep.
You must have been comfortable to do that. Sal coming up in 20 minutes here on WGR. Talking earlier about go figure, playoff odds and whatnot. I've been referring a few times to the Bears and the Chargers as teams that were, you know, trying to predict who makes the playoffs really close to the middle. But I haven't looked at it in a while. And today I did, and that's still the case. The Bears were the closest to even money to make the playoffs, minus 108, maybe it was at FanDuel. So, kind of like a coin flip.
Mm-hmm.
What would you take?
I think I know. If I had to pick a side there, I would bet yes.
Okay, I think I'm no. I'm into it.
Yeah. I think the kid looked really good. I know, preseason pledge and all, I know, whatever. It's not our team. I think that looks really promising.
But, and there are always surprises. It wouldn't even be, it'll be, ESPN will tell you every day what a shock it is if the Bears are good. It will not be a shock because half the betting money is saying they will actually make the playoffs. Dallas, Philly, maybe there's a bet against Dallas to be made. I think Philly's going to be great. Detroit, Green Bay, probably ahead of the Bears. They are in the division odds.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta in the South, and then San Francisco. I mean, they have issues, I guess, relative term, but they should be a playoff team.
Arizona.
And you have dark horses. You have the Rams were in the playoffs. The Bucks were in the playoffs. Maybe somebody comes from nowhere and makes it. That's what the Bears are going to have to outrank most of that. Well, not, you know, there's seven teams that make it, but yeah, it's close. It's close. Better chance to make the Super Bowl, Atlanta or the Bills?
I'm forbidden from saying Atlanta here.
You can't.
I just can't
do it.
I cannot do it. Kirk Cousins is their quarterback. Like, no.
Well,
like they have a pathway to a very good record in a weak division, and the conference isn't exactly stacked. I mean, it's top heavy. San Francisco is excellent. We'll see about Philly and Dallas, but no, I would still have to say the Bills, even though the AFC is jacked and the Bills are, you know, starting over in a lot of ways.
Even the division, the comparison for divisions would be between Atlanta and Kansas City, where it looks like one team is a pretty big favorite, and that's nice. Like, if Atlanta's really good, it's possible that they just, well, they play some teams outside. Like, they start Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Kansas City, actually, the Falcons. That those second two games are night games. Get ready to watch the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
The Bills play, how about this?
They're going to have to change some things, Atlanta.
The Bills play at night weeks 2, 3, 4, and 6.
Right.
The Falcons play at night weeks 2, 3, and 5. And then a 4:25 on Sunday week 6. Not, they don't play each other. Like, these are not
right.
Different nights, but the Falcons definitely got some love in that area this year. And I think they deserve it. I don't just, you know, for one, some weird reason, hate them like you do. I don't love them either. I don't think anybody does.
I don't think any of these reasons are weird.
I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see Atlanta. What a spot for Cousins. Coming off an Achilles tear.
Right.
But he is so well set up. It's like the Bears, except Caleb Williams is a rookie, and Cousins is the opposite. He's somebody that everybody has decided where his ceiling is, mm-hmm. you know? A lot of stats, but, and that probably, he has a chance to rewrite that. I have that bet with Sneaky Joe about Ryan Tannehill that we made years ago,
mm-hmm.
just, you know, 20-1 odds. All right. Because they were in the playoffs all the time, Tennessee. I'll just put 10 on it that someday Ryan Tannehill starts and wins a Super Bowl. Let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. He's on a good team. He's pretty good. I don't know if Mahomes had happened yet or even Allen had happened. I don't know.
I don't think so. I think it all predates that.
Cousins is this, not now. I wouldn't get 20-1 right
no.
now, I bet.
No.
But he's kind of like the same player. Somebody that, you know, nobody thinks is great. But here he is in a situation, easy division. Look at what they've done in the last 20 hours. Judon and Justin mm-hmm. Simmons, like, loading up defensively, plus Bijan, plus London, plus Pitts. I mean, they are not deep at skill positions, but there are super talented guys, top 10 picks. They could roll. And that's maybe the one seed and the bye. You're going to hate that because you're going to watch playoff games in Atlanta.
I just cannot. And yeah, and there'll be like 8 fans there who really care. No, yeah, no. I can't get behind any of this. That all lines up. That all tracks. But their problem, they can do all that. They'll be, if they're the one seed and they get the week off and they're sitting home and they got to play who in the divisional round? Somebody who's good? Forget it.
The four.
They're not. That's Cousins is going to compile and put up numbers.
And then they're going to play Philadelphia and lose?
Yeah.
Or Detroit?
Sure.
At home?
Absolutely.
Niners? Those teams are favored at Atlanta in
I think
second
so.
Round game.
Yeah, I think
right
so.
Right now, I think so too. They play the NFC East and they play the AFC West. That's 3 easy games.
Yep.
Look out. Sal Capaccio from Pittsburgh, the Matt Milano news, and lots to talk about, apparently, from today's joint practice, Bills and Steelers. That is right next after the update. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. He probably got used to this and then would cross out a lot of it before starting to read it, or he would just always
It was usually like grab and go, like, hey, you got the 4:30 update? Yeah, yeah, here it is. And he would just run in there and
You got away with that?
Away with it. I didn't do it a lot, but I did it a few times.
That's good. Yeah. You're lucky you got away with that. Yeah. That could be bad. You do that to the wrong guy.
I tried to Ron Burgundy him is what I tried. Before yeah. Ron Burgundy. I mean, we didn't know who Ron Burgundy was.
He had not existed yet.
Right.
Wow. Right. That was pretty pretty bold.
Long, long time.
That was pretty bold.
Yeah.
You must have been comfortable to do that. Sal coming up in 20 minutes here on WGR. talking earlier about, go figure, playoff odds and whatnot. I've been referring a few times to the Bears and the Chargers as teams that were, you know, trying to predict who makes the playoffs really close to the middle. But I haven't looked at it in a while. And today I did, and that's still the case. The Bears were the closest to even money to make the playoffs. Minus 108, maybe it was, at FanDuel. So, kind of like a coin flip.
Mm-hmm.
What would you take?
I think I know. If I had to pick a side there, I would bet yes.
Okay. I think I'm no. I'm into it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the kid looked really good. I know, preseason pledge and all, I know, whatever. It's not our team. I think that looks really promising.
But, and there are always surprises. It wouldn't even be, it'll be, ESPN will tell you every day what a shock it is if the Bears are good. It will not be a shock, no. Because half the betting money is saying they will actually make the playoffs. Dallas, Philly, maybe there's a bet against Dallas to be made. I think Philly's going to be great. Detroit, Green Bay, probably ahead of the Bears. They are in the division odds. Mm-hmm. Atlanta in the South, and then San Francisco. I mean, they have issues, I guess, relative term, but they should be a playoff team.
Arizona.
And you have dark horses. You have the Rams were in the playoffs. The Bucks were in the playoffs. Maybe somebody comes from nowhere and makes it. That's what the Bears are going to have to outrank most of that. Well, not, you know, there's seven teams that make it, but yeah, it's close. It's close. Better chance to make the Super Bowl, Atlanta or the Bills?
I'm forbidden from saying Atlanta here.
You can't.
I just can't do it. I cannot do it. Kirk Cousins is their quarterback. Like, no.
Well,
like they have a pathway to a very good record in a weak division, and the conference isn't exactly stacked. I mean, it's top heavy. San Francisco is excellent. We'll see about Philly and Dallas, but no, I would still have to say the Bills. Even though the AFC is jacked and the Bills are, you know, starting over in a lot of ways.
Even the division, the comparison for divisions would be between Atlanta and Kansas City, where it looks like one team is a pretty big favorite, and that's nice. Like, if Atlanta's really good, it's possible that they just, well, they play some teams outside. Like, they start Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Kansas City. Actually, the Falcons. That those second two games are night games. Get ready to watch the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
The Bills play. How about this?
They're gonna have to change some things, Atlanta.
The Bills play at night, weeks 2, 3, 4, and 6.
Right.
The Falcons play at night, weeks 2, 3, and 5. And then a 4:25 on Sunday, week 6. Not, they don't play each other. Like, these are not
right.
Different nights. But the Falcons definitely got some love in that area this year, and I think they deserve it. I don't just, you know, for one, some weird reason, hate them like you do. I don't love them either. I don't think anybody does.
I don't think any of these reasons are weird.
I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see Atlanta. What a spot for Cousins. Coming off an Achilles tear.
Right.
But he is so well set up. It's like the Bears, except Caleb Williams is a rookie. And Cousins is the opposite. He's somebody that everybody has decided where his ceiling is, mm-hmm. you know? A lot of stats, but... And that probably... He has a chance to rewrite that. I have that bet with Sneaky Joe about Ryan Tannehill that we made years ago,
mm-hmm.
just, you know, 20-1 odds. All right, because they were in the playoffs all the time, Tennessee. I'll just put 10 on it that someday Ryan Tannehill starts and wins a Super Bowl. Let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. He's on a good team. He's pretty good. I don't know if Mahomes had happened yet or even Allen had happened. I don't know.
I don't think so. I think it all predates that.
Cousins is this, not now. I wouldn't get 20-1 right now, I bet.
No.
But he's kind of like the same player, somebody that – you know, nobody thinks is great. But here he is in a situation, easy division. Look at what they've done in the last 20 hours. Judon and Justin Simmons, like, loading up defensively, plus Bijan, plus London, plus Pitts. I mean, they are not deep at skill positions, but there are super talented guys, top 10 picks. They could roll. And that's maybe the one seed and the bye. You're going to hate that because you're going to watch playoff games in Atlanta.
I just cannot. And yeah, and there'll be like eight fans there who really care. No, yeah, no, I can't get behind any of this. That all lines up. That all tracks. But their problem, they can do all that. They'll be, if they're the one seed and they get the week off and they're sitting home and they got to play who in the divisional round? Somebody who's good? Forget it.
The four.
They're not. That's Cousins is going to compile and put up numbers.
And then they're going to play Philadelphia and lose?
Yeah.
Or Detroit?
Sure.
At home?
Absolutely.
Niners? Those teams are favored at Atlanta in
I think
second
so.
Round game.
Yeah, I think
right
so.
Now, I think so too. They play the NFC East and they play the AFC West. That's three easy games.
Yep.
Look out. Sal Capaccio from Pittsburgh, the Matt Milano news, and lots to talk about, apparently, from today's joint practice, Bills and Steelers. That is right next after the update. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Audio.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.